last year is a got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's go. Let's start over with that. Hey, Carolyn, do you think I need to go ahead and repeat the approvals for the minutes and the agenda for the recording?
If you would just list the agenda items and say that, you know, you just started recording and you're doing this to ensure that the public is aware of the agenda items, that will be fine.
All right. Okay, that's the other one. Hold on. I was putting the notes on there for you, sir. Let me get out of there.
And we should add it to the agenda item right at the top. Start recording. Then we won't.
Say that again.
We should probably put start recording. That's the first agenda item.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I'll make a note.
We'll always
appreciate it.
So moving forward, just put that as an agenda item.
Agenda item, okay. Got it. Thank you.
I'm trying to pull this agenda up. Hold on one second. I've lost. There we go. Got a lot going on this screen. All right. Okay. We're going to repeat the approved agenda items so that we can catch up with the recording. We were unable to record initially. So our agenda items are a call to order, a roll call, the action items were approval of agenda, the approval of previous meeting minutes. Can we have everybody mute, please? The budget update, a strategic plan review, the budget workshop viewing, the budget review, a review of the strategic plan, and a test talk, anti-gun violence, and the TIM update are information items that will go on to the next meeting schedule because we are set to do a viewing for a budget workshop. Item number 6 is public comments, item 7, announcements, and then adjournment is item 8. Those were the approved agenda items for tonight's meeting. Okay. We're going to move now into the budget. We also read the minutes which were approved and are listed on the website. We did make one amendment to the agenda, to the minutes. We added a name, Ms. Linda Kurtz. Latoya Kurtz, to the minutes as a committee member. Okay, so we're all caught up here. Here was the budget. The change in enrollment is projected as minus 20 students. We know that we have a recruitment plan, which we will be sharing with the GO team, hopefully next month once it's approved by the central office, so that we can tell you how that will hopefully not be our reality. We don't want to go backwards. Okay, the signature program, we are a STEM certified school. We get $325,000 per year because of our signature program, STEM. We unfortunately don't get any turnaround money. We are a tier 2 school, and so we don't meet the criteria. The total budget is over $5,126,601. Our holdback, this is 10% of our Title I allotment, and the holdback is $16,673. That holdback, just so that you know, is primarily in case the district doesn't receive the projected Title I funds. And also, we can use that money once those funds come in, in accordance to our projections. We can use that money to level set for any loss of personnel or to use in any other area, whether it be, you know, non-staffing or allocations or stipends. Our family engagement budget is $6,000, and that's formula-based. So because we have less than 499 students, that is the basic allocation for our Title I family engagement. Typically, we do parent outreach through workshops and things of that nature. We don't have any Title I school improvement funds. We do have a Title IV behavior incentive where we can incentivize students for behavior modification, for SEL, for PBIS. The Summer Bridge program, which we'll have this year, is budgeted. The field trip transportation is budgeted for $6,630. And do know that these numbers, a lot of them are fluid. Some of them are not. Anything that you see with fluid, but anything else, we can kind of use this money because we're in something called a Fund 150, where all of the funds sort of lose their identity unless they specifically are specialized funds. And I'll walk you through that a little bit later. And just quickly, so that you know, the district funds stipends for our school, not just athletic, but stipends for everything from band to chorus to other things like yearbook and a host of other stipends, which we'll see later. Substitute teachers in this COVID era, we have seen more and more use of these funds, more so than any other time since I've been employed as an administrator. We are actually using these funds because of, someone may be test positive and stay out for numerous days. Now, typically it's 5 days, but before they could be out up to 14 days. Textbooks, the per pupil allotment, our flex monies, which is always a great incentive, our additional flex monies that they have given us, and then our cluster funds, which, believe it or not, is new this year for us because CSK and BEST and the non-traditional schools didn't normally get cluster funds, but now we get those. There's no reduction to our school budget, and our FTE allotment is 28.6. So that's sort of the overarching view of it. But I'm going to let you see the summary tab so that you can kind of get a somewhat of an understanding of where we are, where kids are, and how we're sort of financing things, if you will. So right now, unallocated funds are about $142,481 unallocated. That means, you know, we haven't allocated those funds yet. Along the side, you see the positions that we have. These are account numbers, the function and the object codes. That's accounting mumbo jumbo so that it can sort of identify where these funds are coming out. And then, unfortunately or fortunately, these are the average cost of teachers. It doesn't mean that's what teachers make. It just means that with the benefits package, there's an average district cost. So in order to levelize the funding and spending across the district, they give you an average cost. So as you know, the longer a teacher works, the more money they make over the years. The younger a teacher is in their career, the less money they make. And so it's new teachers and old teachers together, meeting in the middle and saying, what is the average cost of the teacher, including benefits? And so when we do a budget and you see a 0.5 STEM lab teacher, we have to pay half of the average cost of the teacher, which is $93,780. And that 0.5 would be half. So the budget cost is $46,890. Okay. Math teacher, likewise, 6 through 8. Two teachers, $187,560. So we're just going to kind of walk through, and I'll go pretty slow, just so you can kind of look on the positions here and the staff number that are staffed here. Do understand that we get money for gifted, we get money for what's called REP. And so when we're doing those funds, you might say, well, why do you have three grade levels and only two math teachers? Is because one of the math teachers is paid out of another fund. Okay. All right. Let's just walk really slowly. If you see anything that you want me to talk about, you're all going to get a copy. Dr. Williams, did you get a copy of this budget to send out to the GO team already? I emailed it to you earlier. You're on mute.
It is in my email docket. Doesn't have a chance to load it up yet, but it will be done before I leave this afternoon.
Okay, so this evening.
I did have a question. Could you scroll back up a little bit to the top of that? I didn't understand the difference. Like, I just saw math teachers, then I saw them again. I see, never mind, 6 to 8, I see.
Uh-huh, and then you'll see 9, 12. No, that's a good catch. That's a great catch. Let me move y'all out the way a little bit. I'm gonna move this over here so I can see. Okay, so yeah, you'll see 9, 12, and 6, 8 on here. Good job. So what he's saying is line number 22 here and line number 27 here, he said, I saw math teachers twice. So here you'll see 6, 8, meaning our middle school math teachers. And here you'll see 9, 12, which are our high school math teachers. Okay, and that would be 1.5 is what we have there. But again, one of our math teachers is gifted certified and we pay her out of gifted. Okay, so I'll just, like I said, you're gonna get a copy of this. And as well, we're gonna kind of give you an opportunity to kind of formulate questions. Because as you know, at the end of our budget and once we sort of have another discussion about it, we go to the presentation tab and we talk through how we're spending the money and how, you know, this chart should look familiar to most of you, you know, in what categories we're, you know, allocating funds. So all of this, you know, turns into that. All right, so I'm just gonna move really slowly here. And if you see anything that you want to comment on, basically remember it's the positions and how much we pay for them, how many people are staffed. If you see something like a 0.25, that means 9-12 is gonna have 2.5 for a music teacher and 6-8 is gonna have 0.25 for a music teacher. That means that teacher's here half time. That teacher, Ms. Missick, we share with another school, Sylvan. So she's half-time at Sylvan, half-time at Best. So that's why you see 0.25 and you'll see another 0.25 for 6-8. That's line 41, 0.25. And then if we go down here to line 48, that's high school, 0.25, okay? So I'm just gonna go slowly here. Again, if you see anything, remember I talked about the gifted and the earnings for gifted, 2.5 teachers for gifted we earn. Athletic director here. Okay. These are the REP teachers, the extended program for remediation here.
Excuse me, Dr. Jones.
Yep.
We have a comment from Dr. Gilliard wanting to know, can we hire a middle and high school counselor?
It's possible, but because of our numbers, we don't really feel that we need to. Let me show you what the counselors cost first before I have that conversation. Hold on 1 second. Let me get down to the counselor, school clerk, registrar. All right, so a 6-8 counselor, we have a half-time 6-8 counselor and a half-time 9-12 counselor. And do you see the numbers here? Now, it looks like here is kind of off, but if you see here, it's on. The budget adjustment was made here. So it's 54,714 and 54,714. If we put those two numbers together, we'll get 109, 429, I believe, or 428, actually. The bottom line with that is that do we want to spend $109,000 for let's see, 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, that's 60, 100 and what is that? 6 and 6 is, that's about 123, 122 plus 47. That's going to be about 169 for 169 students. Do we want to spend that when truly we can have the one counselor we have work with middle and high? So that's something that we can talk about and talk through, but he's so competent and so well-versed. He used to be our graduation coach. We're really lucky to have him. So we don't see a need right now to get a full-time counselor for middle and a full-time counselor for high. So right now we have a half-time for both. Okay, let me go back up and scroll down slowly so that we can, where I stopped at here, okay. Let me go right there, okay? I'm going to start scrolling again. Let me know. Keep hitting that chat for me because I can't see those chat items. I can. They're up here.
Dr. Gilyard just follow up with, can we do 0.5 for middle? She agreed with you with that we do need a full-time high school counselor, but can we get a 0.5 for middle? But she did say we can discuss this in our meeting.
Yeah. So we feel currently that the 0.5 for middle and the 0.5 for high is sufficient because we have such small numbers. Most counselors in a high school are dealing with, 400, 500 students. And most middle school counselors are dealing with, 300 or 400 students. So we feel like because we're at 255 projected enrollment, we have sufficient coverage right now. But again, we can discuss it further. If we want to get rid of a teacher and get a counselor, that's what would have to happen in order to, or get rid of $100,000 worth of something to get a counselor. And that's what we'd have to discuss. Okay. You'll notice on CTE, which is really CTAE, line 63, we have 1.5. As you guys know, we have two CTAE program pathways. We have Dr. Williams on now, who runs one of those pathways. And through his pathway, the audiovisual film, and then the other pathway being engineering, it would seem that we would have two people here, and we do not. Well, the other person is also getting paid through our STEM funds. Remember that $325,000 I was showing you earlier for our STEM program? So she gets paid half of her salary to be a STEM coordinator. So we have an A-B schedule. So on A days, she teaches. On B days, she is our STEM coordinator. We have two JROTC instructors, an ESOL. We don't have a full-time person here for ESOL, just a little over 25%, so about 30% during the day. We have five interrelated, a half of what we call a SELT, which is special ed lead teacher, halftime, which we share with CSK. Less than halftime, a 40% speech and language pathologist. We have a CTI teacher, Dr. Reginald Johnson, who works with both CSK and BEST. He mostly gives, job training, career training to students with disabilities and make sure that they get jobs and placements. Okay, we have two special funded special ed pair pros. One is a one-to-one. And as you get out of the yellow, well, let me keep going because we're still in yellow. Anything you see, want me to stop, let me know. The registrar, line 105 is shared with CSK. We pay for 0.5 and they pay for 0.5. There are the counseling allotments again here. And I think Dr. Gilyard sees is that 109 because she sees that we earn that amount, which is the earning of a full-time counselor. And she's absolutely correct. If you look at that 109 here in high school, we earn a full-time counselor, but we take that 54,000, that other half, and place it somewhere else to help us with our budget. Graduation coach was hourly, and now we staff it at a full-time graduation coach. Instructional coaches, we have two instructional coaches. One coach does reading and social studies. The other coach does math and science. We have a full-time parent liaison. We used to have two. They're allotting us this year a media specialist. And we do not have to pay for it. The district is paying that $106,578. So because this is now going to be a district allotment, we're probably going to get rid of paying for a media aide. So that'll save funds for us as well. I've got a school nurse that we have as a 0.5. We share with CSK. Signature program specialist, that is the other half allotment that I was telling you about with our teacher, that's the engineering teacher. We have a SST interventionist, MTSS person that we share with Douglas High School. Everything here in gray, we don't necessarily do anything with. I can't say I want one custodian instead of two. That is not something that we can touch. So if I try to touch that and you know, put something else there, it's going to tell me that that cell is locked. I can't do anything with that. It's protected, right? Can't touch that. Even if I went over to the staffing and tried to add it, they wouldn't let me do it. Okay. And I'm going to move a little quicker because I know we don't have a whole bunch of time left. And these positions are what's called special revenue positions. And so you guys have this or will have it. Oh, the last thing I do want to say is line 189 and 190 are the CARES Act funds. That's a 2 years of funding that we got from the district, possibly three. We'll keep our fingers crossed. And we had an interventionist for both math and reading here that we added with those funds. Okay. As you hit the tabs, they'll have things like the staffing, the non-staffing, what we can spend money on, which is a few things that are allocated here. We haven't allocated everything here, but as you see, you know, we have things like substitutes and some other stuff that we can put if we wanted some hourly staff members, or if we had turnaround funds, or if we wanted to change athletic stipends or what have you. And here are the stipends that we talked about. So basically the way you read this is, so we earn five stipends and it's about $2,500 each, which equates to $12,500. So when we go here and we put a five there, that number is going to change to match that number. So now that's budgeted. And if you go back to the allocation sheet, you'll see now that number has increased. So we'll talk more about that later. Let me put that back at zero. Okay. Don't have a lot of flexibility with this stuff here. A few things we can change, but not a lot. So these allocations are what they are. 123,000 that we're spending out of the 210 that's possibly allotted. And then, as I said, once this is all done, we'll show it to you on the presentation or the spreadsheet. Okay. All right. So any questions? Any questions? I'm going to stop sharing here. Any questions, guys? Good to see you, Mr. Norman.
I did put one comment in the chat there.
Okay.
A full-time graduation coach.
Uh-huh.
It kind of seems like an overlap with some of the other counselors and some of the other titles that I saw. Mm-hmm. But maybe you can explain just briefly.
A huge support system. Huge, huge, huge to our counseling. To our counselors, they work with FAFSAs. They work with, hey, you know what? Dr. Gilliard used to be over the graduation coaches. Did you hear his comment, Dr. Gilliard? You want to kind of chime in on the importance of a graduation coach on a school?
I can't. I'll tell y'all, I'm running past Douglas, so if I blink out, I'll come back. There's another section over here. It's crazy. Can you hear me, Randy?
Yes.
Okay. So the grad coach, their primary role is to provide wraparound supports for students who may be at risk of not graduating on time, and making sure that the school monitors its data, the student, you know, like keeping up with their grades, their attendance, all of those things to help ensure that they stay on track. and help school keep is close to 100%, or the years that we've had 100% graduation rate, that much of their work is, you know, accounted to that. So if they're doing credit recovery, they might help at some schools with different things with dual enrollment. And then some of them will spend quite a bit of time helping students with college applications, jobs, community service, kind of anything that will help the student graduate. So they're just the extra support, and they usually work real closely with the counselors at most of the schools.
Okay. No, that makes sense. I was thinking, I guess, with the number of seniors, I was more so thinking just they're probably working with the seniors and juniors, and it's really not that many of them. And then a full-time seems like a lot.
The primary group that they have probably are 11th and 12th graders because they're closer to graduation. But there are things that they can also do with the underclass students, you know, from school to school, just kind of depending on their needs.
Keeping them on track.
Indeed.
No problem.
Okay.
Dr. Jones, there was a question asked by Keith, and the question was, can we get a link for this call so I can follow the overview and the chart on a computer? I want to really go through this link. And the answer to that question, Keith, is yes, you may. It actually will be posted on the webpage under the Go Team. Normally after the meeting, no later than tomorrow, will actually be posted there. So the goal is to make sure that all of our meetings are actually, the link for the conversation is actually posted.
Okay. And if you just want to see the actual budget, it is going to be emailed to you tonight by Dr. Williams. So that'll be sent to you, but the recording also will be posted, Keith, so you can hear the conversation. Okay. Dr. Barnett, Carolyn, I don't even know if it's doctor anymore. Carolyn, is this the 4 minute 56? Minute presentation here?
It is. And after everyone had the opportunity to view that, please make sure you take the assessment. I'll put it in the chat, but that is it.
Yeah, I think if I'm not incorrect, Dr. Williams, you're going to send this out, right, with the instructions on the full completion of the training through the quiz, correct?
Correct.
I sent that to you as well. Okay. Yes, she's going to put that in the chat, but you will also get it from Dr. Williams. Okay. Let's see. All right, guys, if my volume is off or whatever, let me know and see so I can make any provisions. Okay.
Hey there, fellow Go Team members. It's time to get down to business. Time to plan your school's budget. We are all here for the same reason, to improve student achievement in all of our schools. To do that, we have to be smart and strategic with our budgets. So let's get started. School budgets provide the financial structure needed to support a school's mission.
Can you guys hear that okay? Okay.
Yes.
Vision and priorities. Various initiatives and programs are competing for limited available resources. The budget process encourages discussions that will determine how those dollars are best spent. The district budget is funded through federal, state, and local revenue. Federal is usually earmarked for specific purposes and programs, Title I and the school nutrition program. This accounts for less than 10% of the district's total budget. When it comes to state revenue, there is some flexibility in how the district can spend these funds, which makes up about 20% of the district's total budget. Local revenue accounts for more than 70% of the district's budget. This revenue is generated by local taxes on real, personal, and commercial property, tuition, and payments from intergovernmental agreements like the Atlanta Beltline. As a charter system, principals have flexibility in managing school resources to meet the needs of all students. School operational funds are allocated in two different ways, through the student success formula and through program-specific allocations. Most funds are earned through the student success formula, or SSF. SSF is calculated using projected enrollment, school demographics, and student academic attributes. This allows the district to more closely align school funding with student needs. Using SSF, every student earns the same base amount of funding. For example, if a school's projected enrollment is 600 and the base amount of funding is $1,000, then the school earns $600,000. School demographics and student academic attributes are assigned weights, which are then used to generate additional funds. For example, assume the weight for poverty is 0.15. The base amount is multiplied by this weight and the number of students in this category. So if projections show 200 students in this category, then the school earns $30,000. Now assume the school is projected to have 45 students in the gifted program. If the gifted weight is 0.10, then the school will earn $4,500. Totals for all weights are then added to calculate the school's SSF allocation. In this example, our school has now earned $634,500. There are also programs that allocate funds or positions to schools outside of the student success formula, such as special education, ROTC, and ESOL. These allocations are managed by district program managers using a methodology specific to each program. Now let's take a look at the budget process. As you know, updating your school's strategic plan and establishing your priorities is the first major step in driving the budget process. If your school's strategic plan has not been reviewed and updated, it must be included as an action item prior to approving the budget. The principal is guided by the school's priorities, which will help set appropriate parameters, which ultimately guide the budget development process. An important note about budget and strategic plans, the strategic plan is a long-term document. This is usually 3 to 5 years, whereas the budget covers a one-year period. Therefore, some school priorities may be funded in the upcoming fiscal year budget cycle, and other priorities may be funded in future budget cycles. It is suggested that GO teams meet at least 3 times during this process. The first meeting would be to discuss alignment with your school's strategic plan, priorities, and budget allocation. The second meeting would be for the principal to provide the draft budget and receive additional feedback from the GO team. The opportunity for feedback will allow for GO teams to ensure that the budget is aligned to the school's mission and vision, and that resources are properly allocated to support key strategic priorities. After receiving feedback from the GO team, principals will review the draft budget with their associate superintendent and key district leaders. The final budget approval meeting will be after this review. The third meeting for final budget approval should be in early to mid-March. This is when principals will present their final budget recommendations for GO team approval. One more step. Please be sure to take a few minutes to complete the budget assessment. You'll find a link to this assessment in the email that accompanied this video. All GO team members must complete the assessment as part of the budget process. All right, GO teams. It's time to get planning. Thank you for taking on this great responsibility. And remember why we do this work. Strong schools start with you.
Okay. All right, guys. Let's move that out the way. And then I'm going to just kind of bring your attention to this email. And where you see Carolyn sent us the link, and she did say that, you know, please let GO team members know that they must complete the assessment to receive credit for full completion of the budget training. Dr. Williams, it says, please send a list of members who actually viewed the video during the meeting, okay, so that they can get credit for part one, and then they will be allowed to see that in Ellis as they move to the quiz. So it'll show that. Okay. All right. Carolyn, is there something else we need to do with regard to that? Is that sufficient?
That is sufficient. For the members who are not on, they would have to complete the watch the video and go through the assessment. But I believe I have recorded all the members who are on, so I will pass that information on to our liaison, so she'll give you credit for watching the video.
Okay.
Thank you.
And so, Dr. Williams, anyone who's not on tonight, please send them this as well, and make sure that they are get a special note to make sure that they watch the video and advise us as soon as they've watched it. Okay. Yep. All right. Let me go back to, I'm going to try to find in this hodgepodge here. All right. So we have about 6 minutes. We normally try to stay within an hour, We talked about the budget. We looked at the viewing. We have the last thing is the strategic plan and a couple of updates. So if you'll bear with me, I just want to bring your attention to something. You know, we had that 5-year strategic plan, and this is, I think, year 4 of the 5. And so what I'm going to do is opening up now is I'm going to make sure that everyone gets a copy of this. And I know it's very difficult to see. I'm going to try to make it a little bit bigger. You can't kind of see the whole thing here. Let me bring it over as much as I can. This is the draft here. And I just got word from CSK that they are actually changing some things. And so it's going to not be CSK best here for strategic plan. It's just going to be best here. And then CSK is going to also submit theirs. We overlap in many areas, but not in all areas because they're doing a different, they're adding the arts. So they're adding STEAM instead of just STEM. And we have not decided that as of yet. Okay. So this is as the school strategic plan as we have designed it for this year. We are going to be charged with going in and in essence asking ourselves, let me move this down for a second. I hope you guys can see me here. These three questions as we move through it. And that's going to be, you know, about impact, implementation, and we're going to be asked to sort of reflect. So we'll go through every section of the school strategic plan for this year, and we'll talk about impact, implementation, and reflection. And so I just want to key that up for our next meeting, and we may have a special call meeting for the purpose of completing the reflection. And that will just be for that purpose, so that we're all on the same page and can ask those questions that need to be asked so that we can really make this a real living, breathing document in terms of where we are currently and what we plan to do in the future. You know, there's some things that have really improved that we have talked about, like our graduation rate, our college acceptance rate, some student achievement indicators that we're excited about, the teacher retention we're excited about. So some of those key performance measures that all of this is supposed to guide us to, we're seeing really good measures. And so some of them may need to be eliminated or some of them may need to be tweaked to see if we can actually move further into some of the expectations. So this is going to be sent to you along with the three questions. And what we'd like to do is have you look at the priorities, ask those three questions. Look at the key measures, ask those three questions. This is sort of the how we get there in the middle. So as long as the priorities are the same, we have agreed on the best way to get there. But if we say the college acceptance rate has increased 10%, we're really comfortable but that these strategies are working, but we want it to, you know, perhaps even go up to say 60 or 70 or 80%. And so we need to ask ourselves, what do we need to do here? And I'm going to say this, Dr. Gilead, don't get excited, but if we thought adding another counselor or a full-time counselor in high school would push that higher, then we would say, hey, one of the strategies is to, you know, to look at.
Yes.
I didn't hear. What did she say?
She said, yes, do.
Yeah. So that graduation coach is good with that as well. So anyway, want you guys to kind of, you know, look at it yourselves. And then what we'll do is we'll come back as a group and we'll ask those three questions through the school priorities, and we'll ask those three questions in terms of our key measures. If we change anything on this side, that means we have to change how we do it here, and that means that we may add something here, okay? So that's sort of how it works. And I'm gonna go down just slowly so you can kind of see a little bit more of this. Talent management, an effective teacher in every classroom. I can't see my, okay, we got 1 minute. Effective teacher in every classroom. And what do we think that's gonna get us, okay? It's gonna get us improved teacher leader effectiveness. It's gonna improve on teacher retention and our student enrollment and engagement and attendance, as well as our suspension rates should change, because we know that if kids stay engaged, we won't have to worry about them having problems in classes, that they are going to be so engaged that they're going to want to come to school. So our attendance will increase. And because they're going to be talking about the phenomenal experience they had at BEST, it's going to support our student enrollment numbers, because they're not going to leave us and they're going to bring other people to us. So that's kind of the philosophy. So if anything on this side changes, it could affect this side, and it could also affect, you know, what our strategic actions are, okay? All right, guys, I've talked enough about that. And I'm going to make sure that these three questions, I'll forward them now to you, Dr. Williams, so that you can send that out to all. And then we will get with everyone and decide our next steps in terms of a brief meeting to kind of make sure that we have all the questions answered before our next meeting. Okay, any questions about anything? I have one more thing to share with you about the MLK event. Dr. Williams, did you see the flyer that went out for the MLK event? Were you able to see that flyer?
No, sir.
Let me see if I can find it really quickly and make this announcement. I know that it may be snowing. Let me share my screen. I know that it may be snowing out this weekend. They said Saturday night that the snow will be coming and all day Sunday. But we do have a partner, the Path Church, that wanted us to make sure that we shared this information. I'll forward it to you, Dr. Williams. It's the MLK Junior Day of Service at the Path Church. And it's an event they want you to register for, because they're going to have food. They're going to have T-shirts. They're going to have guest speakers. And it should be a really good time. And I think they're going to do like some type of community cleanup project or something as well. But I'll send this to you. But they asked if I would please announce that to the GO team, in which we have. Okay, any all hearts and minds are clear. I'd like to get a motion to go ahead and adjourn the meeting.
Motion accepted.
All right, we got a motion. Can I get a second? All right, thank you guys so much for all you do. We have adjourned the meeting at 6:03, and we look forward to seeing you guys at least twice next month. Probably once more this month to kind of go over and apply those three questions. And then, and the reason we're doing this, guys, again, is because the budget season is upon us. We have until mid-March to have our budget finalized and approved by the district. So we want to make sure that we do the good work up front so that it is.
Have a good day.
Keith, I think you're on. There you go. So that we can, be in alignment with what it is, those things that are necessary to move our school. So thank you, guys. I want you to have a great night. And thank you so much for being a part of the meeting.
Hey, Dr. Jones, just want to say y'all did a great job. This was a phenomenal meeting.
You know what, sir? Listen, you weren't even supposed to be in here. And I know what you're going through personally. So thank you so much for taking the time.
I appreciate it. Yeah, have a good weekend.
All right. Be careful in the snow, guys. Be very careful. Try not to, move about on Sunday if you can avoid being out. Please avoid being out on Sunday.
Okay.
Thank you.